And we weren't even here yet, but that's when life began for us because Jesus purchased our eternal salvation at the cross. Amazing thought. I hope you're just buoyed up by that, just encouraged by that this morning as we go to God's Word, this passage that Dave just read. Jesus Christ is our life. He is our light. He is our everything. We're about Him this morning. I hope you've come to worship Him today. Thanks for being here at Trinity Church. I'm Pastor Jeff Gangle. If you're here visiting today, thanks for coming. You've actually come on a great day, our Vision Sunday. You're going to learn a lot about Trinity Church and what we're about just by being here in this service today. So thanks for coming. And for the faithful Trinityites, thank you for being here too to be a part of this day. And some that are watching online, we don't often mention that, but we have our service streaming every Sunday morning, so I know we got some people watching online. Be careful not to spill your coffee on the laptop while you're watching the service there. It's easy to do that. Last fall, I was sick one Sunday, and so I was in bed. Jason was preaching, and so Beth brought my laptop in, and there I am in bed, propped up on pillows, had the laptop on my stomach, watching the Trinity worship service. It was amazing. So we're thankful for that kind of technology that allows us to do that. And by the way, we also archive those every week. So if you ever want to pick up a service again, you miss it, you want to share it with a friend, it's archived on our website anytime you want to pass on this, what God is doing here with others. It's right there. So let's pause for a minute. Let's go to God again in prayer as we go into His Word today. Lord, thank You for this time. Thank You for the cross. Lord Jesus, thank You for going to that cross, defeating death, defeating darkness, defeating the enemy. Lord, that is when our life began. It began with You in Your death. That was the beginning of life. Lord Jesus, thank You for conquering that, for coming out of that grave, for providing the way of salvation, and for being at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, even right now. Lord Jesus, You are praying for us. You're working for us. You want to work through us as individuals and as a church. And so this morning, as we look at this passage, to see what You said about being the light in the world, Lord, give us a new, fresh understanding of what that means for us. And Lord, I pray that You would help me to just be out of the way. Lord, work through my words, but it has to be the power of Your word. That's the only power. That's the only source. And Lord, by Your Spirit, speak that word into our hearts, motivate us and move us to live for You, to be true followers, disciples of Jesus today. It's in Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. I've never experienced such darkness as I did on this particular day. It was a number of years ago. It was back when our kids were in middle school. We were living over in Toccoa in northeast Georgia, and we went across the state line into South Carolina. There's a park over there called Stump House Mountain Tunnel. It's an interesting story because this tunnel was started back in 1856. The idea was to run this tunnel a mile through that mountain so that a railroad could go through. Well, 3 years later, in 1859, they were less than a third of a mile through that tunnel, and the work stopped. And it never began again. And so there it sits, some 150-plus years later, as really a cave that goes a third of the mile into the mountain. What was supposed to be a tunnel, but never made it through to the other side. And so we heard about this from some friends. We went to explore it and figure it out. We had our flashlights with us, and so we enter into that entrance to the tunnel. And by the time, because that tunnel kind of curves, by the time you get a third of a mile in, back to the back, you need your light desperately because it is so dark in that tunnel. So we got back in there with our kids and we turned off our flashlights. That was such utter darkness. I mean, you hear that people talk about, you know, not being able to see your hand in front of your face. Literally, I could not see my hand in front of my face. It was so, so pitch, utter darkness. Never had experienced it like that before. Our kids were getting a little bit nervous. Like, Dad, can we turn our flashlights back on? Because it's scary, that kind of darkness. When you experience darkness like that, it gives you a renewed appreciation for light. That's the theme of Jesus' message. That's the theme of this passage this morning. Then, you know, the summer, we've been going through this study. We've calling ears to hear. We're going through the parables of Jesus. Ears to hear. What is Jesus saying? What is He teaching us through these amazing stories? And some of the parables of Jesus are really little more than word pictures, just almost like a passing metaphor. But in that sense, it is still parabolic, because Jesus is taking that picture and teaching a spiritual lesson through that picture. And that's what we have today in Matthew chapter 5. If you're not there already, please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, starting verse 14, the passage that you heard Dave read just a moment ago. And the beginning proclamation, the opening statement, is a bit jarring. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." And, you know, pause for a minute. Wait a minute. No. Jesus is the light of the world, right? He's supposed to be saying, "I am the light of the world." I mean, it's in John chapter 8, verse 12, John chapter 9, verse 5. Both times Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world." What happened? Did Matthew get it wrong? Did he hear it wrong? Did he write it down wrong? Isn't it supposed to be Jesus saying, "I am the light of the world"? No, he means this. He's talking to his followers, and he is saying to them, "You are the light of the world." In fact, it flows even in the Gospel of John. Let me show you another verse, John 12, 36, up on the screen here. Jesus says, "Believe in the light." He's talking to his followers. "Believe in the light while you have the light," speaking of himself, "so that you may become children of light." Okay, so this is what Jesus means. He's saying, "I am the light of the world, yes, but if you follow me, if you put your faith in me, you are the light of the world too." Those who believe in Jesus are the reflection of his light. And that's our first principle this morning. Followers of Jesus reflect his light. Followers of Jesus reflect his light. And in Matthew's gospel, let me give you the context here. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is what we call the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount. All these passages that's taken from what was, we believe, one sermon that Jesus preached there. And so at the beginning of chapter 5, the beginning of that sermon, Jesus is giving what we call the Beatitudes. And so these are the people he's talking about. Who is the light? Well, he's already been saying it. Those who are poor in spirit, those who mourn, those who are weak, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who are merciful, those who are persecuted and insulted because of righteousness. They are the light. Not usually the ones we think of as being real bright and shining. The poor, the merciful, the peacemakers, the persecuted, yes. Jesus is saying to his followers, if you follow me, if you live out my life, you are the light of the world. And it doesn't say here, become the light, learn to shed the light. He's proclaiming his followers to be the light. You are the light of the world. What is the nature of light? What does he mean? What's this metaphor? What does light do? Well, first of all, light reveals direction. That's back to my story at the beginning, right? Light helps us find our way in the darkness. It's the same reason that I have a nightlight in our bathroom at home, because when I get up at night in the dark, I want to find my way. I don't want to be running into doors or going into a closet or falling down the stairs. I want to find my way to where I need to go. That's all the information you need. I want to be able to see in the darkness, and so the nightlight is there to show me the way. So that's what light does. It shows direction. But light also reveals truth. Light reveals truth, too. So, dear, you have a little bottle right beside Prosit. Good toss. Nice. Okay, so on this little bottle, I don't know how they print this stuff so small. Isn't it amazing? I think it's a contest. How tiny can we make the print on these medicine bottles? So when I go to read the directions and the contents and so on, I have to put on my reading glasses, of course. But then that's still not enough. I've got to get it under some kind of bright light, and there, with my glasses and with the light, I can read what it says. I can find the truth of what's in this. What are the directions? What is it telling me? The truth is exposed by the light. See if you can catch it back. Nicely done. So, as believers, as followers of Jesus, as those who reflect his light, we are to reveal the way to him and reveal the truth about him. That's what it means to be the light. The way to him and the truth about him. And in fact, that's exactly what Jesus said he is, right? I am the way, the truth, and the life. We as the light show that to others. That's our responsibility. And we dare not douse that light, which is where Jesus goes next. That's why he says in the next part of verse 14, a town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand so it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others. You are the light of the world, but it's possible to douse that light. And Jesus says, don't do that. Don't diminish the light. You're supposed to shine the light. So that's our second principle here. Followers of Jesus, shine that light for others. There's a purpose to it. There's a reason we're to be shining the light. It's for the sake of others. And Jesus paints, first of all, this word picture of a city on a hill. See, he's kind of going between two, right? So he's talking about light, but then he uses this image of a city on a hill. Often cities were built on hills for defensive purposes, but also so that they could be seen, visible for miles around. I've mentioned to you before, if you've been at Trinity for a while, last summer, Beth and I took our 35th wedding anniversary trip. It was kind of one we've been longing about and wishing for and planning for a long time. We went to Ireland. And there's this place in Ireland called the Rock of Cashel. It's this ancient fortress and church that's built up on this hill. And it's over 1,000 years old. Well, not quite 1,000 years old. Let's see, the tower was built in about 1100 AD. There were other things on there, but what's remaining, the tower you see on the left, 1100 AD, that has been standing. And when we came up, as we're driving toward this, it just seems to rise from the horizon, just kind of grows up because you can see it from all around. It's just flat, pasture land everywhere else, but right on this hill. A castle on a hill, a city on a hill. You can't miss it. And in the same way, Jesus is saying, our faith is to be obvious, unmissable to those around us. When Jesus goes back to his light metaphor, he says, you don't light a lamp, which of course in those days would be oil lamps. You don't light a lamp and then hide it under something because that defeats the purpose of the lamp. The whole point of the lamp is to bring light into a dark place. And so he's saying, don't cover it up with a bowl. Don't do something. So, for instance, if you've got a flashlight, it would be pointless to turn on your flashlight and then cover it with your hand. Now, the funny thing is, I remember doing this as a kid. Remember how fun it was, and especially in the dark? You kind of see the pink and color coming through the fingers. Anybody else ever do that, especially in the dark, where you kind of see the edges of your skin? But it defeats the point of the flashlight. You uncover it to shine the light. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Don't light your lamp and then cover it up. You have the light. You are the light. Don't douse the light. Don't cover it up. If we have Jesus, we have the light. And we must not hide it because the purpose of light is to shine. The point of light is to shine. We must let it shine. So how do we do that? How do we shine our light to the world? Well, Jesus tells us, look at verse 16, picking up what we read before again, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. What is the light we're to shine? Here's our third principle. Followers of Jesus do good works for the glory of God. That's the light. It's in the way we live our lives. Doing good works for the glory of God. Now, don't miss any part of that phrase. You got to put it all together. It's not just doing good works. It's doing good works for the glory of God. So others should see what we do, how we live our lives as Christians. That needs to be obvious to people. And then as we live out our faith, as we obey Jesus Christ, people see us, they see something different, and we are to explain to them what it is. It's about Jesus. It's Jesus' work in my life. I do this for him. I do this for his glory. We make it clear that we're doing what we do, living the way we live, because of the grace of God in us. Because I don't know about you, but I know I would not be able to live this life were it not for that amazing grace at work in me. I cannot do it in my own strength. You can't either. We need to let others know, this is not us. This is the grace of God flowing through us. We don't take the credit. We don't look for the glory. We don't demand the praise. We don't seek the recognition. We got to make sure we get all that right. We do this. We live this. What we do for the glory of God. You probably know our church partners with Samaritan's Purse. You hear us talk about this a lot, the relief projects and the Operation Christmas Child, which is coming up as we come to the fall. You're going to be hearing more about this in the next months, the way that we give to help kids all over the world. And so, thank you. You're getting really good at this tossing thing. So this is the t-shirt I got when I went with the group back in May. They put it right on here. It's kind of small print, but it's everywhere. Anything you see Samaritan's Purse, you see this phrase as well, helping in Jesus' name. On the back as well, Samaritan's Purse, helping in Jesus' name. You see it on the sides of their trucks, Samaritan's Purse, helping in Jesus' name. Why is that important? Because they want people to understand that this organization, yes, is about doing good, helping others, coming alongside in relief, and they are reaching out to the hardest hit and the most suffering people in the world. That's who they target. But they always want people to know, why are you doing this? We're doing this in Jesus' name. We're doing this because of Jesus. We're doing this because of His grace at work in our lives. We're doing this because He is the one that motivates us, because He has arrested death and given us life, and we want to give life to others. That's the point. And that's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, how will people see your light? They will see it by the good deeds that you do if you're doing them for the glory of God, doing them in my name, doing them for my sake. That's the key. I read a phrase this morning. I just asked Beth to write this down in a card because it was in my devotionals this morning where I'm sitting at the breakfast table reading, and this is exactly, I think, what Jesus is talking about. It was in this devotional by Paul David Tripp. He says this, Jesus makes His invisible presence visible through His people who represent Him in one another's lives. You are the look on Christ's face. You are the tones of His voice. You are the touch of His hands. You are the physical representative of His grace. This is your mission in every relationship of your life, to make the grace of the invisible King visible. I love that. You are the light. You make visible the grace of God. What a great calling. Jesus calls us, His followers, to reflect His light so that others will see our good deeds and come to know Him. He shines on us, we shine for Him, and others are pointed to Him. That's the message. That's the mission. And just as this should be true of us as individuals, this is what should be true of us as a church. And so that's why this passage that we're learning about this morning is the basis of our mission statement at Trinity Church. When Beth and I first started interacting with Trinity, it was really even before we came, which is now, amazingly enough, just about a year ago. We started the beginning of September, so our one-year anniversary is almost upon us. And one of the first things I heard then and still heard throughout this whole first year from those who were part of Trinity when it first began is talking about Trinity as that house on a hill. Because if you know, or if you've seen any pictures, this property was here and there was just a house up on top of here. That's the first place that Trinity group began to meet. Oh, it started in other people's homes around, but this was the first gathering place. And that house is what's over there now, and the gathering room and the youth room. That's what used to be. That was all that was here on this hill, the house on a hill. The house on a hill became a church on a hill. And it's continued to grow for now almost 15 years. And as I've heard that story, the church on a hill, the house on a hill, and I came to this passage a number of months ago. I read this Matthew passage, and I thought, this is what Jesus is saying. You are a city on a hill. I thought, that's a description of Trinity. The house on a hill that's become a church on a hill, a city on a hill, the light on a hill. That's us. God has planted this church here to be a light to this community and beyond. And He wants us to shine the light of Christ to our community by actively doing good deeds in the name of Christ so others come to glorify our Father in heaven too. That's the passage. That's our mission. That's our calling. And so what I realize is in these few short verses, it's a description of Trinity and it's a description of our mission, of our calling. It has been for 15 years, and I hope it will be until Jesus comes back again. So, here is our Trinity mission statement. Shining the light of Christ for the glory of God by the power of the Spirit. Simple phrases, but so descriptive. And one of the reasons I'll give you a number of reasons why I love this. So it gives us, first of all, what we do. We're here to shine the light of Christ. It tells us why we do it. We are doing it solely, completely for the glory of God. And then it describes how we do it. We can only do this by the power of God's Spirit. But not only that, it represents our name, Trinity, all three persons of the Godhead represented in this one short statement. The light of Christ, the glory of God, the power of the Spirit. This, in essence, is our mission, based right here in Matthew 5, verses 14 to 16, described in these short phrases. And in order to flesh this out a bit more, as we've talked as the leadership of the church over this and kind of develop this, kind of put this wording together, we've added some statements that really give further light to this, really to say, in order to be that light on a hill, if this is our mission, we need to shine in these particular ways. These are our priorities. So here they are. To be that light on a hill, we will shine the light of the Word. If you've been at Trinity at any time at all, you know that's a priority here. God's Word is center. So we seek to communicate the Bible in our preaching, in our teaching, in our discipling. Everything which always got to come back to God's Word. If it's not here, then it's not for us. This is the center point. This is the truth. This is God's revelation to us. The light of the Word. And then we also need to shine the light through our work. And this touches right back to this Matthew 5 passage. That it's through our work, serving Christ in our church and in our community, that's how we shine our light. So we shine the light of the Word, we shine the light through our work, and then third, we shine the light to the world. It's got to go out from here. It doesn't just stay here. It goes out. So we're committed to proclaim the gospel locally and globally. It's why you hear a lot about missions every month. We're given a mission spotlight. Why is mission so big at Trinity? Because that's our calling. That's our mission. We've got to be taking this light and shining it as far out to as many people as we possibly can. That's through our mission efforts. We are to be the light to the world. That's what Jesus said. So let me give it to you in three other phrases just to clarify. We're committed to teach God's Word. We're committed to do God's work. We're committed to reach the world. That's our mission, Trinity Church. And our mission comes right from the Bible. That doesn't need to change. These are our marching orders from God's Word. But the specific ways we accomplish that mission, how do we do that? How do we shine the light of Christ for the glory of God, in the power of the Spirit? How do we do that on a day-to-day basis? Well, that is our vision. And that can change from time to time, air to air, year to year, depending on the circumstance, depending on what God gives us, the doors that He opens. Those things can change. And so there needs to be a continuing clarifying of the vision to know how we will accomplish that mission that doesn't change. And so our vision is how God is calling us to accomplish that mission right now. Our current priorities. These are the initiatives God has given us for this season, this time in our church life. And so this, you've been hearing me say this for the last couple weeks in preparation for this Sunday. Our leadership, our elders, our staff, we've been working on this for months. It started with an elder retreat back in January where this began to bubble up. We've been working on it, talking about it, praying through it for these 8 months. Clarifying it at another elder retreat that just happened a week ago, last weekend. And so I'd like for our elders just to stand for a minute so you see that this is not just Pastor Jeff. This is a team effort. So if elders, any elders that are right here in our service, would you stand for a minute? I'm not trying to recognize these guys just for you to give them praise. This is so you know who God has called to lead Trinity Church right now. Thank you, guys. And who has been a part of praying this through with us as a staff. And so these vision points are us seeking God and saying, God, how do you want us to accomplish this mission here and now? What are you calling us to do? And so we're bringing it to you as a church today to see this is what we believe, the direction, the calling God has placed on us as a church. Now, let me just kind of set this up a little bit by saying sometimes, and maybe you've been thinking about this, when you hear a church vision, there's going to be an announcement about the church vision statement, it's often connected to a building project and a fundraising campaign and so on. And that's appropriate. Sometimes that's exactly right and exactly what it needs to be. But this vision you're going to hear about today, we've decided it needs to go more to the core of who we are in our church life and our ministry. What is God calling us to be and do? And we're trusting that if we're faithful in that, if we're obedient to these disciplines of, as you're going to hear about, discipleship, family, community, prayer, Bible study, if we're doing those things, God is going to grow Trinity Church. He's going to give us more opportunities. And then the building, the expansion may come from that. But we've got to be doing what God's called us to do. And so here are our vision initiatives that will take us, we believe, into 2019 and beyond. So I'm going to share these five with you one at a time, kind of unpack them for you. First is this: we will be intentional about making disciples who make disciples. Now that seems very core, and it is. This has got to be where we start, because if we're not doing this, then we're not being obedient to Jesus, and we can't do anything else effectively. Making disciples who make disciples. Jesus said, just before he went back into heaven, the last word he gave his disciples, as you are going out into the world, make disciples of all the nations. Those are our marching orders. And so, what does that mean? What does it mean to be a disciple? In very simple, the simplest terms, to be a committed follower of Jesus. A disciple is a committed follower of Jesus. So not only do we want to be disciples, we are to make disciples. And so what we're going to focus on over these next months and years, that this is going to be a long-term vision priority, by the way, is that we're going to pull together a set of core values and priorities and skills that we want everybody at Trinity to hear about and know about. We're going to start with our leadership and then move this out through the fall, and then move this out to everybody at Trinity. Give everyone the opportunity to learn these core discipleship values. D101, if you will. Discipleship 101. And then each year, that's going to build. We're going to build on that and build on that. And we want every one of us to be aware of these core values of discipleship so that you can explain it to anybody else. So you can tell anybody else you come in contact with how to be a disciple of Jesus. Because that's the only way we're going to make disciples, is if we understand what it means to be disciples. So that's what this initiative is all about. And anybody else that joins Trinity, they're going to hear about this. It's just going to be part of the everyday life of Trinity Church as we move forward. Making disciples who make disciples. Jason, Pastor Jason Allen, is going to be kind of our point person on this. And I so appreciate his heart and his desire for the teaching of God's Word and people to learn what it means to follow Jesus. He's done a lot of this right in his own ministry here at Trinity, discipling individuals that God has put in his path. And so he is going to lead our charge, and a lot of us are going to be on board helping with this, to lead this initiative to make disciples who make disciples. That's number one. Number two, we will build up our ministry to families by expanding our children's and youth ministries and adding a marriage mentoring ministry. Okay, this has got a big mouthful here, but family needs to be the focus of the church, I believe, always, because that's the future of the church. So we need to be focused on building up marriages, building up our children and our youth. And so that is going to be one of these vision priorities, these vision initiatives as we move forward. How are we going to do that? Well, Charles and Casey Caudell, obviously a part of that right now, they've been here at Trinity since 2012, they came to this area as Joy House Parents, a ministry that we partner with as a church. In 2012, they kind of helped establish and run our children's ministry, got involved in that very deeply. In 2015, Charles was asked to step in as part in a part-time basis to work with our youth ministry here at Trinity. At that time, he was working at the Tate House. You see a theme here, Joy House, Tate House, and now the house ministries. So Tate House out on Highway 53. And yet, if you've ever tried to do this, it's amazingly difficult to work a job that was often requiring Charles 50, 60 hours a week, and then still have a little bit of time and energy to give to a part-time youth ministry. And yet Charles has done that faithfully, diligently, working in that role. So, to give more emphasis to this at Trinity, we've asked Charles to come on board with Trinity on a full-time basis starting in September as our Director of Family Ministry, Operations, and Technology. Charles, stand up for just a minute so everybody see who you are. So that means that he's going to be able to give himself more fully than he ever has been in these years before to youth ministry. Casey will continue as our part-time children's ministry director, so they're still going to work as a team as they have been on that. Charles is also going to be picking up technology, which was an area that Chris Reidler covered, which was suddenly a need as he stepped to his new calling. And so Charles is going to be stepping in to help us with that. Charles is going to partner with the awesome youth ministry volunteers that we already have, a great team that have been serving our youth and will continue to do that. He's going to be reaching out, building that team. He's going to be partnering with ministries at our local schools that he'll have the time to do this now, with local ministries that work right in our schools, Young Life and Fellowship of Christian Athletes, connecting with homeschooling networks, any other ways that he can to reach youth that are out in our community that need the gospel. And then as another addition to this, and God has just kind of bubbled this up. We didn't even see this coming until recently, but we knew it was a need. And that is, we're going to be starting a small group for our young adults, because that's an easy place to get missed. Between high school graduation and marriage, it's a critical time of life, those college and career years. And so we're going to minister to our young adults here at Trinity who are in that stage. And we're going to start specifically a group geared for them. And then you heard about marriage mentor couples. I'll tell you more about that later. That's an initiative that God's put on my heart, Beth and I. And we're going to be training up some married couples here at Trinity who will then be equipped to mentor other couples, couples who are just starting a marriage, couples who may be struggling in their marriage. We want to nurture the marriages here at Trinity Church. That's all part of this vision initiative. Okay, but that's not it. Number three, here we go. We will create a community-focused ministry that prepares us to meet community needs and share the gospel. This one is a step of faith. This is not a ministry team we've had before. This is going to be brand new. But it's something that we need to be doing intentionally as a church. And so I'm glad to tell you this morning that Rhonda Blackwell has agreed to lead this team. Rhonda and Steve both, would you stand up for just a minute? So, Rhonda and Steve have been faithfully running our Celebrate Recovery ministry every Friday night, open to our community. This is one of our most obvious, the clearest, the most successful outreach ministry that Trinity has had going. And so it's a place of teaching and support provided every Friday night. So this is really what we're seeing, that ministry as kind of the seed ministry for other ways that God may be calling us to meet the needs of our community. And so this new ministry team, this community-focused ministry team, is going to be looking for those ways, supporting CR, so Celebrate Recovery. We want to build that first, and out of that, we're hoping that we will be able to notice and see and creatively begin to meet other needs in our community as a result of that. And that's what that team is going to be there for. They're going to be the brainstorming team, the idea team, looking for those needs in our community, thinking about ways, creative ways for us as a church to begin to address those needs. And so maybe that's something that touches your heart. Maybe that's something that you are passionate about. We need people on that team. So I'm just encouraging you, talk to Rhonda. Talk to her after the service today or contact her through the week. We're building that team right now that will be our community-focused team. If God's put that on your heart, talk to her. And Celebrate Recovery, you're going to hear more about that in a couple weeks as well. We're going to have a Celebrate Recovery Sunday, and we want you to know more about what God is doing in and through that ministry. So these last two vision initiatives, before I share them with you, these won't be new to you. You've heard about these two over the last couple weeks, but I want you to hear them within the context of this whole vision. Here's number four. We will launch a prayer ministry team that will faithfully pray for the needs and ministries of Trinity on a daily basis. So we talked about this a month ago when we were studying a parable on prayer. And so we said, out of this, we've got to do this better. We want a team of people who are dedicated to pray regularly, daily, every week for the needs of Trinity Church. And we have 15-plus people that have already responded to that. Kay Bechtel, would you stand for just a minute? Kay is our leader. She doesn't like all the recognition either. I appreciate that. But I do appreciate Kay's willingness to lead this and organize this. She puts those requests together, sends them out each week. But this is a team where the commitment is just to pray. The team doesn't meet. The team doesn't do anything else. The team is focused on prayer. So if God's called you to that ministry of prayer, and you just want to receive those needs weekly from Trinity, and you are committed to pray faithfully for those needs on a regular basis, talk to Kay. She would love to talk to you about that. I'd love to see that team double and triple in size, because if we don't have people covering Trinity Church in prayer on a regular basis, all these other pieces of this vision will fall flat. We cannot do this apart from the work of God's Spirit through the power of prayer. So we need this ministry. We need this team. That's number four. Number five, we will expand our Women of Trinity ministry by providing a daily devotional study that will offer a spiritual and virtual connection for all women. So Beth announced this last week, started signups last week. Some of you ladies heard from other women that you walked in the door this morning, because this is our desire to highlight this commitment that I shared with you before. Is part of our mission to dig into God's Word, but it happens personally and corporately. And this idea connects both of those. And so the way this is going to work is our Women of Trinity, all of the Women of Trinity, you are encouraged to get this devotional book that everybody's going to be using, reading each day, getting the same word from the Lord each day through that devotional book. And then the Women of Trinity, when you come together to meet on Wednesday morning, if you can't come Wednesday morning, it's going to be repeated again Wednesday night. And that will be the corporate study of that devotional for that day. And then as one added piece, Beth's going to be sending out every weekday an Instagram message or picture, something that goes with that devotional, just something to encourage, something to tie all the Women of Trinity in. So ladies, you will be connected through that devotional study, through the Bible study, through that Instagram message, so that you are learning from the Lord the same kinds of things, working through the same kinds of things, praying for the same kinds of things day after day through this next year. So if you're not signed up, ladies, I encourage you. I hope every woman at Trinity Church does this. Right after the service, there'll be availability in the narthex, or you can contact the church office this week. Plenty of ways for you to get connected. So I want to pause for a minute before we close here. I'm going to ask our ushers to come. Now I want you to have this in hand. So they're going to pass out for you these five initiatives. Go ahead, guys, just hand those out row by row. The reason we put this down on a sheet here, on an insert, is so that you can put this in your Bible. You can put it up on the refrigerator, put it somewhere where you will see it often. If you're part of Trinity Church, then this is your vision too. This is your calling too. We want you to be aware of these things, praying, God, how do you want me to connect? What part of this vision do I need to be involved in, and how? Praying for Trinity Church, praying for the leadership, praying that God would bless us with the opportunity to follow through on these vision initiatives over this next year and beyond. That's what these are about. And as you're getting those, let me add two other things that are happening. They're not vision initiatives, but they're ways God is working. One is that we have already put together a search committee. As you know, we said our farewell to Chris and Becky back a couple weeks ago, and so we're looking for God's person to bring to us, to lead us in this area of worship and music. And so you see it in your bulletin today as well, Director of Music and Media Arts. So there's a search committee that's already been established. If you have an idea for them, you want to pass somebody on to them, there's an email address that's in the bulletin. Just contact our search committee through that email address, and we need to be praying for them, supporting them in any way that we can as they search for this person. We believe God's already put his hand on somebody. We just need to find that person and invite them to be a part of our ministry here at Trinity. The other thing is that we are going to be renovating our church website over this fall, And the website is nowadays is the first, often the first contact people have with the church. And so we want our website to truly reflect what Trinity is all about. And so you'll see that begin to develop and change over the fall. So then the personal question we close with. What's your part in this Trinity vision? We're trusting that God's going to direct you in that. I hope that as you've heard this today, maybe one of these vision initiatives stirred something in you. I want to be part of that, or I could use my gifts in that way. Next week, and we did this intentionally, we're following this Vision Sunday with what we're calling Serve Sunday. So next week, we're going to highlight what is happening here at Trinity. What are the ways that you can specifically get involved? What are the needs? What are the open doors? Where do we need people to serve, to volunteer here at Trinity Church? You're going to hear more about that next week. And so I hope you'll be praying about that. How has God gifted you? He has gifted you. But in what way? What are the gifts he's given you to serve this body? How are you using that gift? And so come next week expecting that God's going to show you an open door or maybe confirm a way that you're already serving, that is where exactly where God wants you using the gifts that he's given you. Trinity Church, you are the light of the world. Jesus has beamed his life-giving light into us, and we must shine that out from this church on a hill. Some of you, like me, used probably learned this little chorus in Sunday school. Remember this? This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I love that chorus. That's a great commitment. But it falls short in one way. Ever thought about this? It's not a little light. Now, maybe for little kids singing it with their little finger in front of them, it is a little light. But it's not. That's what we read in Matthew 5. Jesus is the light. So the light that we shine is huge. It's not little. John 1, 4 and 5, in him, speaking of Jesus, was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus, the light, has defeated the darkness. We are victors over death, over darkness, because of Jesus. That's the light we shine. That's the gospel message we declare. It's a message of life and of light. So the light we shine is bright, it's huge, it's life-giving, and it will not be overcome. Trinity Church, your mission, should you decide to accept it, is to be shining the light of Christ for the glory of God by the power of the Spirit. Would you say it with me? Shining the light of Christ for the glory of God by the power of the Spirit. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, this calling to be the light of the world is way too big for us on our own. It is true, you are the light of the world, but Jesus, you have chosen to shine that light through us. Sometimes we don't get that. Sometimes we don't feel, often we don't feel worthy. But Lord, we as your people, those who have put our faith in you, we understand that death has been arrested, defeated by you on the cross. And because we understand that, because we believe that, we now have that message of light to shine and share with the world. So Lord, our prayer this morning, as your church, as your people, Lord, help us to shine. To never put anything over that light, never to douse that light, never to doubt that we have a message that the world, the lost around us, need to hear. We have light to shine. So, Lord, help us show them the way, show them the truth, that you are the life. Lord, let us shine. Let us shine. Let us shine. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand as we sing?
Amen. our Savior displayed on a criminal's cross. Darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost. But Jesus arose with our freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace.
The service this morning. Shine the light of Jesus for the glory of God by the power of God's Spirit.